We're in Luke 10, verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We're going to look at a few things about harvest because it's really important. It's the act of, it's therissimos, which means the act of reaping or gathering, but it's also gathering a crop, but it's this metaphor for gathering the kingdom of God up. So, let's go to Mark 4.
What was that word?
The Greek word is therissimos, T-H-E-R-I-S-M-O-S, therissimos. All right. We're going to look at just how this harvest thing is revealed. So, Mark 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, or his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this is everything that was taking place prior to the harvest. It was the sowing and the growing, and everything was coming up, and what happened to the various seeds that were sown. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. Now, more than likely, this whole scene occurred on the Sea of Galilee, right next to Peter's house at wherever his town is, I forgot. And so there's the way the shoreline is there. The shoreline is right, obviously right next to the lake. But then there's a town over here, and then to the right or facing the sea to the left of it, there's this hillside, the gentle sloping up. And so, more than likely, that's where this occurred. And then when most of the people left, or there's a few that remained with the 12, and they probably gathered at Peter's house, which was a common gathering place during this time. And this becomes the ultimate parable, because, let's see what it says. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is known to given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven him. Know you not, he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So by implication, he's saying this is the key parable to understand the mystery of God. And if you don't understand this parable, you will understand nothing about the mystery of God. Everybody understand that? What is the implication here? And this is where the prosperity gospel gets the idea that the seed, you plant a seed, then they say it's money, and then you get back 60, 30, 60, or 100 fold. And that's the basis of the prosperity gospel. And then they find all kinds of other half scriptures throughout the Bible that justify that position. So this one's kind of important. He said, and then in verse 13, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, and again, the only vehicle that Satan has is your mind. So he, the word was sown in the inner man, but some fell by the wayside. What does that mean? It means that the ground was so occupied with other things that it fell on the stony, on the wayside. So that just, it was a simple task for, it was dismissed by your mind, or it was it was turned by your mind into something else. And then it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. And in Matthew it says, with great joy. And we've seen this. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And we've seen this. It's great joy. Hallelujah, brother. Nice. I'm waiting for this. But when persecution or affliction ariseth for the word's sake or because of the word, then by and by they're offended. Remember, the offended means they've been trapped back into self-seeking. Everybody understand this? Okay. And then the next one is, and these are they which are sown among thorns. Now this is the one that'll grab you by the short hairs. Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And we've seen this way too many times. I think you are. You think you are. We're about done in about 1 second here. So anyway, do you understand what the cares of the world is? Something has distracted you from the mystery. You've got an important thing to do. All right. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, which hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the fruit that's being brought forth is the number of people that will hear the word because of that seed falling into the ground. It has nothing to do with money, and it gives you an implication or an indication of the size of the seder. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. And the 100-fold, remember, by definition, in Jewish custom, and I think it's even the law, but I'm not sure, it took 120 people to establish a new community. That's why there were 120 at Pentecost that heard. And each of those 120 reproduced themselves, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now that's what should be happening here. I've got it? Well, then let's look at two other parables. In verse, we're going to start in verse 26. And it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise, and night and day. And it, and in the Greek, it's a continuum. It's a verb tense that just means he should sleep and rise, sleep and rise, sleep and rise, night and day, night and day, night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. You never know what's going on. You never know. The only thing you must always remain is empty. There's no other evidence, because the seed is growing in the dark place, in the inner man. There's no outward manifestation. A little bit. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. In other words, the process, once the seed has fallen into the ground, it's automatic. It has nothing to do with the ground except that it remain empty. I mean, the you don't, cares of the world don't choke it. So it's, this is the most, if you hear this, it's the neatest thing in the universe. And the, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now from God's standpoint, the harvest is at one time, just like all men die at one time. So the harvest is at one time. Can anybody grab that? You're looking from the top down, from eternity standpoint. The harvest then becomes when the vessel has so emptied by repentance that the seed now is growing automatically, you know not how. And then when it's grown, and it then cometh the harvest, and immediately it's put in the sickle. Now that only happens once. It doesn't happen ever. And again, it's hard to understand this if you live in time. You can't, how can you possibly understand that you die, you will die at the same time that Adam died, or Eve died, or Abel died, or Abraham died, or anything. You'll die exactly at the same time. And the sickle is done automatically, exactly at the same time. Pray you understand this, because if you don't, then you won't understand anything. Anybody have any comments or questions or amplifications? Josanna? Nothing? All right, the next one. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, or the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now the fact is, it doesn't, has nothing to do with the smallness of the seed. The mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed, so it doesn't interfere with the automatic process. If you don't know that that's your identity, then you will always interfere. A little bit?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're doing something. Your mind is going 60 miles an hour. What's going on?
Keep going. I'll say something.
All right, let's look at some more. Let's go to Matthew 9. This is just a repeat of what we studied in Luke, but go to verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted in their mind, is what it means, and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. And then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now what are the laborers doing? They're preaching the cross, is what the laborers are doing. Now, from God's standpoint, the laborers now are few. Can you see, if you're that little seed, and it says the whole prosperity gospel says he takes that seed, which is really a parable of Jesus Christ, and saying that is money. I can't believe what that, the evilness of that is beyond the pale. And at the same time, they trivialize suffering. Because if you give all the money, they say that you have to give to get something, and then it doesn't happen, it's your fault. Because you have secret sin in your life, or you didn't give enough money. And we see this over and over and over from victims. Now this is pure evil. All right, go to Matthew 13. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then cometh the tares? Everybody know what the tare is? The tare is a weed that looks exactly like a wheat, like the wheat. Right?
Yeah.
And verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I'll tell you, before we started the investigations, this parable was the great It almost caused us not to do it until we read a whole lot of other things. But I would like, if you haven't seen it, I'd like you to look on our website and see the questions about why we investigate. Because it's imperative that you understand it and agree with it. Not, you don't have to agree with it, I don't care about that. But if you're, especially if you're working for the foundation, you have to agree with it. All right.
What, yeah, wondering why this parable caused us as a community, or
caused me,
or just caused you not to do the investigation.
Because it says, "Let them alone."
They're growing side by side.
Okay. They're growing side by side.
Okay.
So what that means is, in each field or each seder, there may be tares growing. But it's for, we're talking not to the people, not we're talking to the people that are preaching, not the people. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Revelation 14. It's talking first about, you remember in 13 it revealed who the beast was, and then in the last part of 13 it revealed that the beast, when the beast got religion and he had horns like a little lammy. And then it talks about the destruction of Babylon. And then in verse 12, we've read this many days, but many times. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the clouds sat one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Well, you probably don't want to read the next part of this, but I just wanted you, and that reaping is, remember, if you don't understand what eternity is, then you'll never understand this, but that reaping happens one time. It's not. It's just like everybody dies at the same time. If you're baptized, you're baptized with Christ at the same time. If there's a resurrection in you, it's resurrection of Christ in the same time.
Die with him.
All these things are the same time. Everybody grok that a little bit? The laborers are few. Let's look at one scripture real quick. 2 Thessalonians. I think chapter 3. Yeah.
Using the word laborers for disciples.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's. I believe that the laborers they're talking about here are the preachers that preach the cross. And you're a preacher of the cross if you live the cross, whether you ever say anything or not. All right. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we might may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil or from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. All right, that's enough for today. This is really, really, really important to understand this harvest business. Bible study isn't the same without Gary. Take it, big guy.